The name of this chapter is so awesome. It's the lifter up of my head, or the lifter of my head. And our key verse is from Psalm 3:3, and this is the Amplified, and it says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and my honor, and the one who lifts my head." And again, just like with all scripture, I could just park right there. I could just stay right there. Because it says, it starts with this verse actually starts with the word but. So you know something came before the but, you know, like all the stuff that's going on and all the trouble and all the issues that David was having at the time. But he said, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're my glory and my honor." Because see, sometimes my honor gets soiled. And even my glory sometimes gets soiled, what I call my glory. But when God is your glory, he said, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and my honor, and the one who lifts my head." And on this particular teaching, we're going to talk about confidence. And we need to talk about confidence for so many reasons, especially as believers. We have to talk about confidence in Christ. But let's just go into our lesson. We're going to start on the topic of confidence. And it says, "I am sufficient, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. As the apostle wrote, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace." Wow, that says a lot. And sometimes when I read these scriptures and how, you know, some of the words are brought out in scripture, even as we look at the new versions, I think the people even that write the new versions, they're encouraging themselves, even as they write the scriptures, as they break down these words that were written by the apostles, you know, they're encouraging themselves because there's so much in here that I can do what you have called me to do. Not everything I want to do, but you can certainly do everything that Christ calls you to do, and that you are self-sufficient in Christ. And we need to just hit on that word self-sufficiency and what that means. Self-sufficiency means that you can do it without any help from the outside. It's like what the word means, self-sufficient. Like if your home is self-sufficient, that means you have a place to generate power or electricity. You have a garden to grow food. You have a well to have water. I mean, the entire, your home, your farm, whatever, is self-sufficient. You could live there for years and never have to leave. That's what self-sufficiency is, that you can do it all by yourself, you know. So that's what you need to really get down what this word is talking about. So it says, "I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." Yes. See, that's where we have to get to, because some of us, we're self-sufficient in ourselves. We have our skill set. We've got our degree. We've got our family. We got our bank account. We got all of our other stuff that we are depending on, but we don't know what it is to be sufficient, self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And I'll tell you right now, this is a secret I'm going to tell you. That's why you lack confidence. That is why you lack confidence, because of what you're relying on, or what your sufficiency is. And it's interesting that this chapter that's called "The Lifter Up of My Head," the theme of it would be confidence. I was trying to connect those two. Now, why are how are we connecting the lifting up of your head? Because if your head is down, that means you're down about something. But how do we connect lifting up your head with confidence? And sometimes it's just obvious. Well, if you lift up your head, then you're more confident. But there is a reason that you can be, there are reasons that we are confident. And some people, you look around and they seem like they're very confident without necessarily knowing Christ as the lifter up of our head. So what's the difference here? The difference, as the scripture has just said, is that we are looking for our self-sufficiency in Christ. Sufficiency. And I'm telling you, if you haven't fallen from a high place, if you haven't gone through something, if you haven't hit rock bottom, you may not get this. You may not get this lesson. But those of us that have hit rock bottom, those of us that have lost some things, I know what this means. Because see, I have relied on and I depended on and I've leaned on that stuff and it let me down. So I have learned after going through those such things that I have to be, my self-sufficiency has to rely in Christ's sufficiency and how important that is. Some of y'all still going through it, but I'm going to tell you, when you get through it, when everybody leaves you and lets you down, when you have lost everything, you learn why Christ is telling you, you need to be sufficient in me alone. And not depending on so many other things. If you want your head lifted up, I mean really lifted up. I'm not talking about putting on a facade and saying, I'm blessed. How are you? I'm blessed. I'm talking about really walking in confidence in Christ for it to be for real. Because we can put on an act. But he's talking about really lifting your head. Really coming out of shame. Really coming out of that embarrassment. So that's what we're going to be talking about today as we talk about confidence in Christ. So our first point, Jesus changes the playing field for us in every situation. He makes what was impossible possible. He took a band of oppressed people living under the occupation of a tyrannical government and changed the world. That's what Jesus did. You know, I'm just thinking, why weren't you born a Roman? I mean, it seems like it makes sense, Rita. If he was born a Roman, then he could, you know, I mean, he could have went back in time and instead of gotten Abraham, he could have gotten the ancestry of the Romans, the ancestor of the Romans, and said, hey, I'm going to come through you. And but no, instead he chose the people that he already knew were going to be oppressed. That's where he chose to came to come. I tell you, I think God just loves to show off. I just tell you, I think God just loves to show off. I think it, you know, and that's why you can take heart in your situation right now, whatever's going on, because I'm telling you, you keep looking up to God, God is going to show off. He does it all the time. So Jesus shows up born in a stable to a band of oppressed people. And he changes the world. To this day, till 2016, he is still changing the world. So if he did this, imagine what Christ can do and wants to do in your life. He is the greatest source of confidence that there is on the planet. He has risen with all power in his hand. And that's why, you know, I don't want to get ahead on the lesson, but I'm like, I see why he knocked down all my stuff. Because he said, you know what, that's not going to hold. You know, it's almost like being in a tent and a tornado's coming. And Jesus knows the tornado's coming, and he sees you over here in the tent. So Jesus will come, and he'll just snatch your tent. And you're up there. Because he said that tent is not going to protect you. So when you see it in the mindset of why he knocks your stuff down, he knocks your stuff down because he wants you to depend on him. He wants your confidence to depend on him, and then he can really lift your head. So as we look at our scripture, we have our scripture in our lesson from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Again, this is the Amplified, and it says, and Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me. Believe in me and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of the circumstance, and in every occasion, even to the end of the age. That's now. So he's with us now, perpetually, he's with us now. Now these words, I know we're going to talk about it at these words as the Great Commission, but I just wanted to just hit on the fact that he's talking about, he's telling them, he's almost giving them, as they go on the Great Commission, he's giving them all these instructions, but he also gives them these promises, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and in earth has been given unto me, and then I'm going to be with you perpetually throughout the ages, throughout the age, to the end of the age. And that means that whole span of time, from the time that Jesus returned all the way up until now, we're still in the age of that time waiting for Jesus to come back. The last days, they call it. You know, the last days started at the time of the disciples. The last days, that's when it started. Because there was a lot of days before that happened. But that time where Jesus ascended to heaven up until 2016, these are still the last days. And in the last days, all those prophecies that the Bible talked about were fulfilled and have been fulfilled. So we're living in the time when we see the fulfillment of all the prophets, of all the prophecies. So that's why we can say he could return any day now. Or as John Hagee says, he could return before you get home for dinner. He could return before lunchtime, folks. Even right before we finish this class. So Karen won't be finishing the class if he returned, okay? So we see, after all of these encouraging scriptures, which are truths about our God. We need to teach on confidence or our heads being lifted up. The psalmist asked this question of him, his own soul, in Psalm 42. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" See, this is the man that defeated the lion. He defeated the bear. And he defeated Goliath. But yet, he's writing this. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted? Why are you disturbed within me? Because even though we have all these accomplishments, and even though we can do all these things, sometimes there comes a time where our face is down again. I'm not saying that you will never feel down again, but you know the source to lift your head again. Because David is asking his soul, why are you cast down? Maybe thinking about all the things that he's done. But at this point in time, you know, he's having a hard time. And he says, why are you cast down? Why are you? And we ask our same, maybe we don't ask our soul that. Sometimes we need to ask our soul. I love David, how candid he was and how he talked about himself, his emotional state. And he wrote those down for us because these are the same things that we would feel. Some of the times we don't want to talk about it and we don't want to say it. So I'm so grateful that David wrote it down. Because sometimes my soul is disquieted. And I have to, why are you down? After all God has done, why are you down? Because David, he deals with the situation. See, I always tell people, you cannot treat a problem until you first diagnose it. Don't be afraid to diagnose in front of God. He's diagnosing himself. My soul is disquieted within me. You don't have to ignore your pain. You don't have to ignore the sorrow you feel in your spirit. David addressed it. He talked about it. He described it. Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted? Why are you disturbed? Soul, dealing with it and talking about it. Because his heart was just heavy at this time. So as we jump back to talking about the Great Commission, you know, I'm just trying to set us up in several areas, because I'm trying to tell you what Jesus told us to do in the first place. But on the other hand, the issues that we face, even within ourselves, that keep us sometimes from doing what Jesus told us to do. So as we look at what Jesus told us to do, as we examine these words, the Great Commission, or our assignment, our undertaking, our duty, our charge, our responsibility, our warrant. I love that, that they use the word warrant, because man, Jesus made it so. License, our sanction, our authority. We understand that Jesus regained the authority over the earth that man forfeited in the Garden of Eden. God gave the authority over the earth to man. Then man forfeited that authority to Satan by choosing his lie over the command of God. Genesis 3:17 records the ground is now under a curse because of you. So we're looking at why our head is hung down low in the first place. Well, because we started out one way, we believed a lie, and we ended up another way. And not only us, but the whole planet was brought under a curse because of us. Isn't that something? The whole planet. Because remember, God gave us authority over it. And so when we fell, it fell. You know, it's just like anything. You know, if the head falls, everything else falls. If the parents fall, the children go. If the company falls, if the CEO of the company messes up, the whole company's gonna fall. So the same thing was happened here. We forfeited our authority given to us, but it was with confidence, and it was with one other consequence. Not only the earth fell, but our confidence changed that day. We have to go back to the garden and how it was back then. Kings and queens walking the earth, taking care of everything. And then we believed a lie. And when we fell, folks, I don't think we even realize how hard we fell, because we've never experienced what it was like before the fall. But one thing that happened, our confidence fell. Our confidence fell because we gave our authority to someone that hated us. We gave our authority to a thief and a liar. How can you believe a thief and a liar? How can you have confidence? How can you sleep well at night when you're under the authority of a thief and a liar and a murderer, and the list goes on and on and on and on? So with that went our confidence. As I said, we were kings and queens, and we were forced to live as slaves, following our poor decision to sin against our Creator. And now, to this day, we live with a slavery mentality. Slaves do not have confidence. So the whole earth is under this thing. You know, people put on airs. That's why we put on airs. Because we don't have confidence. That's why people pretend to be the big shot. That's why we fall to pride over and over and over and over again. Because we lack confidence. We can't be confident in this world and in this world system and in the authorities that be. So again, we go back to our scripture that Jesus said, your self-sufficiency has got to be in me. That's the only way your head's going to get lifted up. I'm trying to connect the dots. I'm hoping I'm doing a decent job of connecting the dots for you. Because that's why we are the way we are. See, we can't even understand the lifting up of our heads if we don't diagnose where we are right now. So our heads are sunk down low because we're living under this harsh taskmaster that hates us. And so we walk the earth with our heads lifted down. I mean, we may physically have our chests out and our heads lifted up, but inside our soul, as David said, my soul, why are you disquiet? Why? We put on air, we pretend. And some of us are so good at it. I was just thinking about the actor Robin Williams that committed suicide. I was like, what a shocker. I'm like, this man was a comedian. He currently had a show on TV. You know, and I'm like, had millions. Why? Because even though he had the smile on his face, and was joking and laughing. His soul. His head was hung low. His soul. I hope y'all getting this. Because we need to get real before Jesus. We can be real with him. We can be honest with him. So we can talk about our situation and where we are. Because once you get real with him, he can deal with your stuff. But some of us, as I said, y'all, oh, no, don't touch that. But he wants to lift our head. It could have been.
And if maybe someone did,
It could have been a lot of reasons. It could have been, we all can say all the list of reasons, but the reality is that he took his own life. You know, and so many,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, let's continue with the less. Yeah, it is true. But that's why, you know, we want to understand this. It's not to point the finger. It's not to, you know, say, oh, you should do. It's so that we can really look at ourselves as a race of people, as all of humanity. I'm talking about all of humanity. I'm not talking about a specific group. I'm talking about all of us. We all fell in the garden. Our confidence, all of our confidences were lost in the garden. I don't care who you are. I don't care what culture you came from. I don't care what you... Confidences were lost in the garden. And we started to hang our head down low at that point. And everything that we've had before Jesus Christ was just a temporary fix. And then Jesus came. And he did his great work on the cross. And we learned to be confident in him. And then we could truly lift our heads. Our confidence was stolen on that day in Eden. As I said, how can you have confidence in a thief and a liar? And when you are under the harshness of a thief and a liar, you learn not to trust anything. You distrust everything and everyone. And that's the way that society we live in. You've got to sign papers for everything. Contracts for everything. Because there's just a lack of trust. When Christ rose from the dead with all authority over heaven and earth, he restored our confidence and he lifted the heads of humanity. Yay, wonderful, awesome. But now we've got to learn about this thing, right? We have to learn about the confidence. We have to relearn the confidence that we had in the garden. As believers in Christ, why do we often hesitate to move in Christ and in his way? There's a lack of confidence there. I'm just being real. You know, sometimes, you know, because of the world we grew up in, you know, it goes back to, you know, the book I wrote, Leaving Babylon. Because it's like we got this thing going on here. We got this slavery mentality. And so when it comes to God telling us to do something, we hesitate. Or because we don't have confidence. We have more confidence in the world than we have in Christ. And that's okay. For now, it's okay because you're learning about this thing. But it would be... Oh boy, it would be to your joy to learn of it and to take it on. Don't let it just sit, the word of God just sit on the shelf and not understand your confidence in Christ, not understand your authority in Christ, not understand how he wants to lift your head. So what I find is that there are two reasons in particular that we hesitate. Number one, we were raised to fear the things of the world or Satan over the things of God. And I just said that. We were raised this way. We fear man and we fear the enemy more than we fear God or revere God or respect God. We fear Satan, we fear the things of Satan more. Number two, we do not yet fully understand the authority we have in Christ, so we hesitate. We shake our heads, we hang our heads as we face the condition of our world. We do. We say, oh my goodness, I can't believe. Oh, did you hear the news? Did you hear what happened? And 9 times out of 10, we don't pray about the situation. We just say, did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened in France this week? Did you hear what happened in Dallas? Did you hear what happened? And rarely do we pray. I don't know if anybody heard the story on KTLF this morning, but it was really amazing. They were telling the story about this African-American man in Columbus, Georgia, that walked into a Walmart and he saw a sheriff's deputy there. And he walked up to the sheriff's deputy and he asked him, can I pray with you? And he took his hand and they started to pray. And somebody caught a picture of it. And it was in the paper. It just spread. I mean, I don't know how it spread all the way to Colorado, but somehow it got all the way to Colorado that this happened and this story about, you know, I'm like, you know, they say in the hood, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
How he had to be obedient to Christ to do something like that. Because he couldn't have known that this was going to happen. But you got to be obedient to Christ. You know, he's telling you to do stuff. Small little, look like just a small little thing. I'm just walking into Walmart. I see a deputy sheriff and I'm going to say, hey man, let's pray. And somebody snaps a picture and it's spreading all over the nation. The story. God doesn't need much. He just needs just a little bit of obedience. What if that man wouldn't have been obedient? What if he said, oh, I'm going to look silly. Oh, this is not all the excuses that the enemy brings in our head when God is calling us not only to lift our own heads, but to lift the heads of a nation that's grieving. Our nation is hurting. It's wounded. And it needs the children of the living God to step up and get some confidence in Jesus Christ. Get some confidence in him and what he's saying to do and what his word is saying to do. Have a courage to pray with people. Don't let the people scare you. You know, you can't do that. I'm like, you got to show me the Constitution of the United States. Did they repeal the First Amendment? What's going on here? Folks, you got to know your law. Don't let people that don't know what they're talking about tell you what you can't do. There's still freedom of speech in this nation. As I said, you don't go around beating people with the Bible. And yes, there is a balance with everything. You don't not do your work and just be praying all day and don't do your job and stuff like that. But boy, you can certainly pray in a Walmart. You know, it's just, folks, we got to stand up. Oh boy, that scripture, thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory and you're the lifter up of my head. Don't you know this nation's head needs to be lifted up right now? And this is how it's going to be lifted up. When I heard that, the joy came in my heart. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for repairing the strife that Satan is trying to put in this nation. We're such an unusual country. There's none like it in the whole world. Just a group of all different types of people of different colors and nations and stuff. And here we are, came together and formed a nation and became the most powerful nation on the planet. I think God was telling us something right there. And here comes the enemy. Let me see if I can divide them along races. Let me divide them on religion. Let me divide them on politics. However I can divide them. And nobody will pray. See, that man and the deputy sheriff didn't have a discussion over who was right and who was wrong. They just prayed. And the scripture says, endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. They go together. If you want peace, You need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, flowing. So again, we don't want to, we want to regain that confidence in Christ that we once had, that confidence that we had in the garden. So if God is going to lift your head, you must look to Him and Him alone, folks. Not to your status, not to your money, not to your position, not to your education. You've got to look to God. Because sometimes we look to arguments and we look, no. No argument's going to solve this, honey. We got to pray. Let's look at the story of the prodigal son. And it was as I was doing the lesson, the Lord just showed me this, that the prodigal son is the story of humanity. The treasure of the father was given over to corrupt living by a disbelieving son. The choices of the son left him destitute, hungry, and in great desperation. Does it sound familiar? Then the son remembered how his life was in his father's house. There was plenty to eat. There was safety. There was love. And so the son decided to return with a plan to become a house servant in his father's house. Wow. See, it was just like the children of Israel sacrificed the blood of bulls and goats to God for their sins. The prodigal was ready to sacrifice his standing as a son so he could return to the father's house. That was just so clear. I'm like, okay, yeah. We were making sacrifices, trying to appease God, you know? Yes, I mean, God gave him those instructions in the Old Testament, but it just testifies how, you know, the scripture says the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. But yet, they were doing it faithfully, trying to appease God with the blood of bulls and goats. Remember, the people could not even go into the Holy of Holies in the temple. Only the priests who had carefully prepared to enter, just like the prodigal, we had sinned. It should be we in there. We had sinned and were outside of the Father's house. That's the way that was. It's our story. We're outside of the Father's house, making sacrifices, ready to give our sacrifice so we could get back into the Father's house, but it wasn't enough. We no longer have the confidence as sons and daughters. We had a slavery mentality and we hung our head low when it came to our Father God. And this, folks, is why so many people reject God. That's why so many people, many people don't want to hear about God because they act on the outside, they show a facade of rejection. I reject God. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear. But the truth is, I can't come before a holy God. I can't come before Him because I am full of sin and He wouldn't receive me. The enemies told Him that He won't take me. You don't know what I've done. It's like the prodigal son. You don't know what I've done. Some folks won't even bring a sacrifice because they're like, they know no kind of sacrifice in the world can help me go before God. So that's why they reject Him. That's where the heart of an atheist is. The atheist just decides they're not going to believe He exists. Problem solved, so they think. But my question is always, if the problem is solved, why are you so angry when people bring up God? If He doesn't exist, what are you angry at? What are you angry about if these people are just running around serving a God that doesn't exist? What are you upset about? Just let them do it. But the anger comes in because, again, you remind me that there is a holy God. And I have no sacrifice that I could bring that could cover my sin. See, you got to see, I believe this is what Jesus saw. Even when the crowds tried to kill him, and even when they did all they did to him, he knew the heart of humanity was that I'm not good enough. God can't want us. How can he want us? After all the things we've done, how can he? But thou, O Lord, as David said, our shield about me. You're my glory. You are my glory. And the lifter up of my head. See, he clothes us in his glory. He covers us in his blood so the Father can look on us now because we're covered in his blood. Amen. And that's what makes salvation so wonderful and so beautiful, because now I can lift up my head. Before, there was no way I could do it. So again, I think as we take on the mind of Christ, we can minister to people better. You know, you can get past this facade of hating God and don't want to hear about your religion. And because I'm telling you, I don't know why they would put that picture in the paper. Why? They wanted to know. Somebody wanted to see it. It spread. It was like, oh my goodness. Wow, this is what we need. This is what we need. So we're people, we're ashamed of what we are. And then the Father sent Jesus. Hallelujah. As the scriptures record, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. That's from Luke 15. Jesus coming in human form was the embrace and kiss from the Father to us, his lost children. He sent Jesus to embrace us. We're fighting, we're doing all kind of wickedness and evil, thinking that God just forgot about us. And then he sent Jesus to come and embrace us. And I think that's why we love Christmas so much. Because that was the coming. That was the beginning of the embrace. That was the beginning of the kiss of the Father. That's why we love Christmas so much. We thank you. He came. He sent the Son. He came. He began to lift our head. We are still a long ways off from God. We were still a long ways off from God when he sent his Son, the Christ, to die for us. But God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. That's a scripture. That's what the Romans 5:8, that's what it says. While we were yet sinners. While we were still a long off, while we were still killing each other and full of hate and full of pride and greed and war, wow. He sent the Son. One nation oppressing another nation, the Romans oppressing the Jews, and he sends the Son right in the middle of that to the oppressed side. Hello. I'm like, I'm sure people would have thought, now, God, now, really? Why would you send him to the Romans? He would have had, you know, enough to, more to work with. And oh, boy. But when you see God, because he had to show his power. He had to show his strength. And he had to show his love. There is a confidence and security in the Father's house. When we return to our Father through Christ, we work in confidence, rest in confidence, and live in confidence as he lifts up our head. And it's a process. You get there. You know? I can't believe what I understand now that I didn't understand 20 years ago when I was a believer, but I just didn't get it. I was going through the motions, okay, yeah, God is good. But now today, I understand. Rest in confidence, live in confidence. He restores our authority over the enemy and the world. And the scripture, 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children. You have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Amen. There's our confidence right there. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Sign. Word of God. So he lifts up our head. Any comments? I know we're finishing a little early with the introduction. I just want to do the introduction today and just really hit on that piece, just to get that in your mind. Confidence. We're going to talk about, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about confidence. Confidence in God. Because I think at no other time in history does the body of Christ need to understand confidence. Because I think as a people of believers, we're getting discouraged. You know, our heads are kind of hanging kind of low. We're staying on the down low with our testimony. We're, you know, so we want to get this confidence piece.
Well, I feel that confidence is really more being, having the strong foundation of Christ that makes us stand so strong no matter what happens in this life or world. And a lot of things are going to come, tragedies. Are we going to be able to stand it?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
A lot of people are not, because of the foundation.
Yes.
It's just the foundation of Jesus Christ.
And how do we strengthen that foundation?
With the Lord.
And prayer.
Prayer. Prayer. A lot of praying.
Prayer life.
I mean, you're going to have to get down on your knees and be so humble to pray before God.
Yes.
Because God loves a humble person so much more than anyone that shows they think they have Jesus, but they're not. Yeah. And he's going to test them.
Yeah. And he does. He brings them. We're going to talk about that in the lessons to come. We're going to talk about how God deals with us and how he brings us along. Because again, you know, yes, we're arrogant creatures. You know, we are. Can't help it. It's just automatic. I just can't help it. But God brings us along. I love the way he brings us along. Sometimes it hurts, but he brings us along.
Yes.
You know, and as we pray, we get that understanding. As we read his word, we get his understanding. The Bible is so rich of every answer to every problem you could ever want. It's in the word of God. It's in the Word of God.
I really believe a lot of that prayer because of the way my family used to be way past, you know, they knew about me, how, where I stood. I didn't say a lot, but the Lord brought them around.
Yes.
The Lord brought my family around, but I'm still praying for
through
them.
Prayer, yes. Yes.
That's so good. But, you know, we are in end times and all the prophecies being fulfilled, and we just have to stand firm in the word. I know why does Christian does not step up on their plate, because look at the Muslim, look at the other religions. Jehovah Witnesses,
knocking on your door.
Yes. Why are we not like that?
That's
what I'm saying, you know. I know God said we're not supposed to you know, to the world. just go over there and just pray. That's what he said, just pray, and, you know, by his will. But God loved us so much. I would say that he spared his own son for us and give us all things already. So all we need to do is tap in his word. And in his word is saying that even the elect in the end days will be deceived. So we cannot be deceived. You know, we need to stand firm in his word, because his word is true.
Yes.
He lives in us. Yes. And I feel like his presence every day, just humbling yourself and surrendering everything to him. And he's always there for you.
Yes.
He's
yes.
always there for me and my husband. Because he just shows his love, yeah?
Yeah.
His love, his agape love.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
I know.
Yeah. I love him
I
so
do too.
Much.
And see, and that's what happens when you pray. Because I didn't always feel the way I feel about Jesus today. I didn't always feel this way. You know, so I encourage you, if you're not like, gee, you know, you guys feel so deep about him. If you're not, keep going. Keep going. I'm telling you that falling in love, you will fall in love with him as you start to experience things with him. And I tell you, every single day, you know, you don't necessarily have to be knocking on the doors. I mean, we got the real power.
Amen.
We got the real God. He will create opportunities wherever you are.
Amen.
I can't believe the things that I walk into if I'm paying attention.
Amen.
And not in rushing through the rushing through my day with my own agenda. If I'm paying attention, he is always sending opportunity into my life to minister to somebody, to pray with somebody,
yes,
to do yeah. this, to do that. I mean, I'm just thinking about that man walking into Walmart
yeah.
and seeing a deaf, and Lord is speaking, pray with him
yes.
right now. And what it did.
Yes.
God will be sending you opportunities, but again, you got to have the confidence to do it and the faith in Christ to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Follow through. And I'm telling you, as you start doing it, that's why you're going to get to a point where you're just... The very mention of his name just makes you well up with tears when you
yes.
think and realize how much he does for us and how much he loves us.
When
who was
pray,
I going
you
to?
You pray like every day, you know, before I even get out of bed, I read my Bible. I have to read my Bible. Why? I won't be all right all day. But I pray every day when I go to work. I say, Lord, help me to speak to someone. And he does.
Yes.
And I speak to someone.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you, Jesus, yeah? And he hears your prayer.
Yes.
And he hears it. It's so loving.
I tell you, he is listening.
Yes, he is.
I mean, I'm amazed at some things I just had a thought. Sometimes I just have a thought about something, and he will bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God, I thought about that. And I just,
yeah.
I'm listening.
Yes.
I'm listening, and I'm
also,
watching.
Also, too, Karen, because of always trying to do what the Lord wants us to do, we get a blessing.
Yes.
We get a blessing. It
always.
Reminds me of what the study I did with Frank D'Antoni.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Always. He blesses us.
Just like the Lord gives us opportunity. I was having this like yesterday at Walmart. I saw a soldier. And I thought, should I? No. I said, thank you. And he looked at me and he said, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
We just take our yeah. soldiers that are giving their lives for us,
mm-hmm.
and we just take it for granted.
Wow.
The same thing with the police.
Uh-huh.
I had a real talk with my granddaughter, because
yeah.
she's a police woman,
mm-hmm.
and she said, and I asked her what the morale was with the Dallas shooting.
Yeah.
She said, you know, we have to hang together, Mom, Grandma,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And she says, we just have to hang together.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to, we just have to hang together.
Yeah.
And when I hear a police start, I say, God protect them. I don't know whether they're going
mm-hmm.
away or from, but protect whoever
mm-hmm.
is in that car.
Mm-hmm.
Because we never know what that car is going to drive up with
yes.
us.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm
but
telling
we have
you.
To be aware of our police around us, that they're our friends.
Yeah.
Sure, there's some bad ones, but they're bad preachers and bad
yeah.
doctors, you know.
Yeah.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
But and we don't shoot bad doctors. You know?
I guess they don't. Thank you. Okay.
Oh. I forgot well, about you.
Yeah,
the you're not a bad doctor.
Yeah. So, did I see some more hands? Oh, okay, Cheryl.
Well, for me, with the confidence, it's so true, but part of it is we live in a world where we want instant gratification. That's what the world's teaching us now. If we don't get it right now, we don't want to wait for it. And, you know, God has to orchestrate this crazy world.
Yes.
And the world we have to live in and some of the things we have to deal with. I went through it this week and I was just ashamed. And I went home and I said, you know, Lord, it only took 3 days. Why was I was fretting and worried and paperwork and then it all just fell into place. But wow. He has to have time to orchestrate what he's getting done for you. So we have to have patience that goes along with the confidence.
Wow. Amen. And you're right. Right. So only God can orchestrate this mess.
Yes.
I mean, there's no way. There's no argument that any human being can give that's going to make everybody happy and satisfied. So all we can do is take hands and pray.
Yes.
You know, so amen. Amen. Who else? Let's take
I wish you would have done it for me because it sounds like I'm contradicting her. Yeah. This morning my grandson called and he says, Grandma, they stole my car last night. So I told him, we'll put it in God's hand. And then I was just talking to God like I was talking to you. And I said, okay, God, this is what we want, that they'll find it soon and that they'll be okay, not really damaged. I think it was 7 minutes after that, the phone rang. I was just going to the store to get me something. And I said, they found it, I told myself. And that was my grandson. He says, my daddy found my car. See, 7 minutes later, he told me they had found it. So prayer is powerful.
Yes.
And God is good.
Yes. He is listening, folks. I have seen so many prayers answered, you know, and I used to think I had to have a conversation with people about, you know, so we can sit down and chat about this, so we can fix it.
Analyze.
And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is telling me so much more lately. Pray. Don't say a word to them. Just pray. And little by little, God, I'm like, oh my God. And I can't believe what people, the very person I want, how they would say, you know, I'm going to do something. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm trying to fight not to say, make a comment on top of it. Yeah, you should do that. Uh-huh. You know, just to try to keep my mouth shut because the Holy Spirit will do it if you ask him. And that's what builds that confidence in him. That confidence in him. I'm telling you, we really need to get this sufficiency in Christ. And not in our own, as I said, we are so caught up in our skill set, you know? That's why I understand what the apostle meant when he said, I resolve not to know anything except Christ and him crucified. I can't rely on my knowledge in the scriptures as Paul had. He said, I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to show me what to do and what to say.
Karen. Throughout the years, I thank the Lord that he put it in my heart to study his word, to meditate on it. And through the years and all these tragedies and all these events that are going on in the world, you know, Texas and France, Turkey, the Lord has shown me through his word that God knows everything that's going on. He already has a plan through all this. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just so grateful that he gave me his word. You know, put it in my heart to want to study it and meditate on it because I see these things, this news, I just say, Lord, you're in control. I already know. You got this taken care of. You haven't planned for this. This is all for a purpose, and it's according to your plans and your purposes and your will for him to be glorified. And I thank God that he knows what's happening today, tomorrow, and next year, whenever all these tragedies, all this stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. He knows already, and he already has a plan.
Absolutely.
And so we're redeemed already, you know. Just, I know my confidence is that God has redeemed me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. That's where it has to be because, you know, in light of all these tragedies, I mean, hopefully it's calling us to prayer. Hopefully it's calling us to prayer and to pray, you know, things that just don't even make sense, you know, that are going on. And I just want to just remind you, I just hope you hear, next time that tragedy you may hear this week, I hope you will pray. It's every day. I know. It's like, it is escalating. Like every day you hear some random shooting, somebody driving into a crowd of people. I mean, all these people dying, you know, I mean, that's what we're hearing like every day. It's like, oh my God, what's that? Hopefully, there's prayer going on behind it.
Every escalating. I think even the days, the times, like the end of the month, you know, it's just like everything is going so fast.
So fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yes, we're in an election year. Be praying over the election. Just pray. I'm just praying, Lord, let your will be done. I don't even know. I don't know where to go here. Jesus, just let your will be done. Father God, just show me, Jesus. You know, yeah. Just help us, Jesus. So I'm just praying, Lord, let your will be done.
Have a plan, mm-hmm. and they think that they know the truth, but they're really deceived.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how important it is for us to know the truth, yeah. and to know the freedom that we have in Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, like when I was just talking about the Jehovah's Witness, and I was thinking about, I used to have to study more. I forgot a lot of things I used to know about Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. When we were in, John and I were in the military, we lived on a military basis, there were lots of Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses that would come. And even when we first moved to Pueblo, we were just like inundated. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would actually come over and even bring their bishops on Sunday morning when they knew we were getting ready for church. And we used to invite them in, and we used to think we could talk to them and persuade them. But after we had just hordes of children over, and it got to the place where they got really argumentative, and finally we realized, you know, that's the end of it. But the indoctrination that you see, and the legalism, and the ways that people are bound by the deception and lies, I don't envy them or look to them or hold them up in any way, because legalism is a really scary thing.
Yes.
And I used to work in a chapel where the Mormons had their like 7 o'clock meetings for their young people to indoctrinate them. And I used to be the one that would clean off the boards. And I'd see their papers in the trash, and I used to study them to see what they were doing. And I thought, oh, it's like they have a plan. They have a plan to gain power and to gain the positions of power, because they know what power and money and influence can do. And then we lived right over by the west gate of the state fairgrounds. And I look and I tell my family, I say, those young ladies could be like Miss Colorado, the way they dress, the cars they drive. They're out there in the heat of the summer with like tweed jackets, like suits on. And I think that's supposed to speak to people and make people think, look how dedicated they are. And I just think, you know, I am just so thankful that we don't have to be legalistic or prove certain things or do certain things to try to show, you know, other people about our religion, because ours is a relationship. And I thank God for that freedom that we have and the truth that we hold.
I was just thinking as you were talking, Cindy, it's sort of like, legalism is sort of like making that sacrifice, like the prodigal son wanted to do. He wanted to make that sacrifice. You know, and legalism is like going with the sacrifice instead of the father's embrace, you know, and the father's kiss, and coming into the house and enjoying the banquet that he prepared for the son. You know, legalism is like, no, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be the servant. And, you know, that's the sacrifice I'm going to make. I've got to go through this penance or, you know, this thing in order to be back around the Father, you know, not in the house because I'm a servant, but around. And that's what legalism is, you know. But instead of accepting the love of the Father and his embrace and his kiss and his putting his arms around you, bringing you into the house and serving you the banquet, you know. But see, that's what that's again the deception of the enemy. It makes me look like I'm doing the right thing because I'm making the sacrifice, and you know, I'm really a son, but I'm, you know, and it's based, you know, the foundation of legalism is pride again.
Right.
Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Look at You know, look at the sacrifice I'm making. You know, when Christ, he did it all. Taking the, you know, that's what this is all about. I take the focus off me. Christ saved me. I don't have to wear anything special because he saved me already. He did it all. I'm covered in his blood. The Father can look upon me because I'm covered in his blood. Not because I have on my tweed suit, you know, in the heat of the summer day. Tweed cannot save me. You know, the sacrifice. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yes, absolutely. The difference between works and faith.
I think we should get together, like, declaring, you know, praying for our city, you know, Pueblo, Pueblo West, Colorado Springs, you know, all the nation, especially America. We should pray for, like, every 9 o'clock at night before we go to bed. Just pray.
Pray for America.
Pray for America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pray for the election.
Yes.
I think we should do that.
Yes.
Like a national prayer.
Yes.
No, I just say that we do that every morning.
Absolutely. You know what? That's a good commitment to make. And if anybody wants the Seven Mountains that we talked about before, if I can bring copies of that, because it hits on the governments, it hits on just something to pray about every day of the week, just a topic that you can hit on. In addition to the prayers you pray, but just, you know, Lord, just speak about the election. Folks, this is going to be a major election. I mean, a major... Something's going to happen. This nation's going to be rocked one way or the other. So,
Lord, help us.
So help us, Jesus. Help us.
You keep saying pray for the elections and stuff. And my husband, he did this with Lil Tony, and he's doing it with Rachel. He keeps saying that Obama's not going to leave, that why even vote, because Obama's not leaving. What do you think?
Not right.
Yes. Well, he's leaving.
He's leaving.
In Jesus' name. And so, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't lean anywhere politically.
My sister said, what's he going to do, rent a room?
But I'm just saying, folks, we got to pray. If we've never prayed before, we need to pray now, you know, over our nation. So let's go into prayer. We're out of time, so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, Lord God. Oh, Father, even as we've heard the testimonies today of answered prayer, Lord God, Father, we know that you're listening, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would restore the confidence in us, Lord God, that we lost, oh God, before, Lord God. Help us to believe you over believing this world, Lord God. Help us to believe your word that says greater is he, greater is the Christ, greater is the Lord that is within us than he that's in the world, Lord God. Oh, God, I pray that your people would rise up in confidence. Lord, I pray that we would pay attention, Lord God, as you are speaking to us through the week. Oh, Lord, that we would minister as you have set us in place to minister, Lord God. Help us to realize that every day is on purpose. Every day of our days, you have written in a book, your word says. So you have already set up and planned opportunities for us to minister. Plan opportunities, Lord God, for us to bless. Plan opportunities, Lord God, for us to draw closer to you, Lord God. So I pray that we would not be, our eyes would not be shut. And Lord, I rebuke the spirit of fear.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, and I pray that our confidence would be in Jesus Christ, Lord God. Oh, Father, you came to change the world and change the world you have, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, that we pick up the bloodstained banner and carry on. Oh, Lord, that you would lift up our heads, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we would not, no matter what has happened in our lives, Lord God, we declare that you are a shield about us and you are our glory and the lifter up of our heads, Lord God. I rebuke shame, Lord God, because we walk in you and we stay in you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we love you and we depend on you. Lord, I pray that you would be our sufficiency. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord. We pray for Virginia's son, Lord, Nathan, Lord. God, she asked for prayer, Lord. We pray for Nathan, Lord, even as he has his procedure. Oh, Lord, we pray for him. Lift him up, Lord God. Be around him. Surround him, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we cover him, Lord God, today. We cover Virginia today. We pray that you would encourage your heart, Lord God. Oh, Lord, and I pray for this group of believers, Lord, even the ones in this room. Pray for their families, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would bless them, keep them, protect them, Lord God. Things that they haven't said, Lord, but you see that's on their hearts, Lord God. I pray, Lord, even this week that you lift up their heads. Oh, Lord, that you be their confidence. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we want this word to be real, Lord God, and not just something we come and do on Sunday. Oh, Lord. So we stand in agreement for each other, Lord, that your word will be fulfilled in their lives. In Jesus Christ, the lifter up of our heads, and then we pray. Amen. Amen.